comes out of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 through 10. Very familiar passage. It reads this way. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him, Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to God, to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all need to go ahead and just read that real quick all over again. And God granted his request. I want to preach from the topic, a good man with a bad name. A good man with a bad name. The prayer of Jabez was the craze in the early 2000s. You all remember? Books were produced about the prayer of Jabez. Banners with the prayer on it was made for people to pray off of. There was devotionals that were created based on the prayer of Jabez. Preachers propagated that if you faithfully prayed that prayer, that you would get the same blessings that Jabez received himself. Y'all remember that prayer back in the early 2000s? Everybody was talking about the prayer of Jabez. There was something special about the story of Jabez and his prayer that people could relate to, that people could identify with. I mean, who wouldn't want the blessings of Jabez received due to the prayer of Jabez? Or at least that was the assumption, that it was the prayer that made the difference. I wonder what it was about this prayer that was different than all the other prayers. What was different about the prayer compared to the model prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray? Surely that prayer is filled with blessings too, blessings of forgiveness, blessings of having your needs met, protection from hurt, harm, and danger, and even giving us a glimpse of heaven down here on earth. What was the difference about the prayer of Jabez from the prayer that Jesus prayed for unity among the saints? When Jesus prayed that they all may be one, just as you and I are one, may they be one as well, so that the world would know that you sent me. I think the difference between what Jabez prayed and other prayers in the Bible that captured the attention of many Christians is that where the Bible says that Jabez asked what he wanted for and God gave him what he asked. How many times does prayer work like that for you? I know the Bible says if you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you shall find. If you knock, the door be open. But how many times has prayer worked like that for you? It seemed that Jabez prayed the kind of prayer that we all wish that God would answer. Because Jabez prayed for what he wanted and God gave it to him. It wasn't a spiritual prayer. It wasn't a selfless prayer. He just asked and he received with no questions asked. Jabez said, Lord, enlarge my territory. Give me favor so no harm comes to me, and let me live a life free of pain. And God said, okay. That's a prayer that we can all get excited about, a prayer that we all wish that God would answer, a prayer that we all probably prayed one time in our life. Or maybe we became so mesmerized by this prayer of Jabez because of its outcome. Not only because of its outcome, but because it helped us to identify with Jabez the man. The Bible says that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. But he had a bad name. He must have been misunderstood. How many of us can relate to that? He must have been the black sheep of the family. How many of us can relate to that? He must have been a disappointment to his mother to get a name like sorrow and pain. Have you ever disappointed mama? That's different than being a disappointment. Disappointing someone versus being a disappointment is different. That's why I like this story and this prayer, because of its relatability. We can relate to the disappointment that Jabez brought and the disappointment of being a disappointment. But we can also relish in the fact that God answered his prayer too. And if God would answer the prayer of pain and sorrow, of disappointment and being disenfranchised, if God will answer the prayer of the lost and the lonely, if God will answer the prayer of the poor and the pitiful, then maybe God will give me the desires of my heart too. Maybe God will hear and answer me in the affirmative. Maybe Jabez found out the secret of getting God's attention, because when Jabez prayed, God didn't say wait, God didn't say maybe, God didn't say no, but when Jabez prayed, God said yes. That's the kind of prayer that gets me excited. But has that kind of prayer worked out for you the same way it worked out for Jabez? Got real quiet. Well, if God isn't answering you the same way that he answered Jabez, maybe it's because of at least 3 reasons. If the prayer of Jabez is more of a description than it is of a prescription, that simply means that what took place between God and Jabez was an example of what God can do. But that doesn't mean that God has to do it like that all the time. It's a description. It's a demonstration of the power of God, but it doesn't obligate God to do what you say just because you said it the right way or at the right time or because you was in the right posture. This story is not prescribed for all time, but rather gives you a picture of what God can do. That's because God is a God of equity and not equality. The Bible says, put God first and he'll provide for your every need. But how many of you know that we don't all have the same need? One needs some shoes and one needs some socks, and ain't no sense of giving the one socks that needs shoes and the one shoes that needs socks. God will provide for your every need, but all of us got different needs. All of us don't respond to God the same way. Some of us are hard-headed, stiff-necked, and God has to do a work on us before he turns us around. And then there's others that are close to the Lord, and all he got to do is whisper. God don't even deal with us the same way. Which leads to the second reason, and that is because no matter what you say or do, God is still sovereign. That just means God can do whatever God wants to do, and no matter what God does, God is always right. You ain't got to agree with it. You ain't got to like it. You ain't got to believe it, but it don't change the fact. God is sovereign, and we are his servants, and not the other way around. God doesn't have to do what we say, but we better learn how to do what God says. In fact, we need to stop saying God bless America, and America needs to start trying to find out how to be a blessing to God. We need to stop talking about God being on my side, and we need to make sure that we're on God's side. You remember the story in the Old Testament text where Joshua is on his way to Jericho, and on his way to Jericho, he runs into the commander of the army of the Lord. And he doesn't recognize who he is. And he asks the commander of the army of the Lord, are you on our side or are you on our enemy's side? And the commander of the army of the Lord said, neither. I am the commander of the army of the Lord. We better make sure that we're on the right side. That's not your side. That's not my side. But you better make sure that you're on God's side. Third reason that Jabez's prayer was answered was because the Bible started his story by saying Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. He was an honorable man, more honorable than his brothers. That is, Jabez was a good man of good character. He just had a bad name. But when I search through the scriptures, I find where it says in James 5 and 16, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And I see that Jabez's values had to match with God's values, because the scripture says in Psalms 34, 37 and 4, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. In fact, he had to be of a good relationship with God. For the Bible says in Romans 10, 13, those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jabez was an honorable man whose will lined up with God's will, and he had a personal relationship with God, so that when he called on the Lord responded, but he did have a bad name. Where did his name come from? Why did his mama give him a bad name? The story doesn't give us all the details, but it does give us some clues. We know that that children could be named for some part, for some important event in time. And oftentimes they would embed in their name a name reflecting God. But what happened to Jabez and his mother that would cause her to memorialize him with a bad name? The Bible says that she named him Jabez because she birthed him in pain. Now, on the surface, brothers and sisters, we could assume that Jabez was a painful pregnancy, that he must have been difficult to deliver. Now, that maybe even her life was at risk, but I believe that it wasn't the pregnancy or the giving birth that caused Jabez's mother so much pain, but rather it was the way that he was conceived. When you look at the root word for Jabez, it can mean several things. It can mean pain, it can mean idol, it can mean image. The pain that delivered from Jabez's birth wasn't from the delivery, but a broken relationship. Can I go a little further? Anytime you put someone or someone else before the Lord, that, my brothers and sisters, is called idolatry. And when you idolize something other than God, it won't be long before it causes you some pain. Y'all miss that. Anytime you put something or someone before God, that is idolatry. And if you are in idolatry, it won't be long before that something or someone causes you some pain. When I played football, they gave us our priorities to live by. They said God first, then the family, next education, then football, then fun. And we were told that anytime you get any of these priorities out of order, your life will be thrown out of balance. If you put football fun before football, then your life would be thrown out of balance. If football came before family, then your life would be thrown out of balance. If education came before family, then your life would be thrown out of balance. And if anything comes before God, then you're straight out of balance. I suppose that Jabez's mother started in a relationship that got out of order, and she ended up pregnant with a child that she would forever remind her of her situation. Now, I know some of you think that I'm stretching this a little too far, but nowhere in the story do we hear about Jabez's father. He wasn't there when Jabez was born, because it's the father who names the child. But Jabez, by all practical purposes, was a fatherless child. Even in your relationship, you better learn how to put God first. Because him or her may be here today or gone tomorrow, but the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Somebody said mama's baby, but daddy's maybe. But God the Father has many adopted children, and he treats each one just as good as the
mother. Daddy wasn't around, and there isn't even any mention of a redeemer kinsman. No one to stand in the gap as a father when Jabez was born. No one to name him at his circumcision. No one to mentor him in some trade. And because of her hurt, this mother gave this child a bad name. Can I park right here for a moment and tell you that sometimes what people put on you isn't about you, nor is it your fault, but you still have to carry the weight. Now that should set somebody free right there. You thought that you were the black sheep of the family because you were so bad. You weren't bad, that's just what someone put on you because you reminded them of their failures and their mistakes. But no matter what they call you, you can still be honorable, for the Lord knows how to change your name. In fact, he has another name for you right now. They called you troublemaker, but God said you were peacemaker. They said you were a liar, but that was in your past. Now you're an evangelist telling people about the truth of Jesus Christ. They said that you were a cheat, but you turned your life around over to the Lord, and he gave you clean hands and a pure heart. All I'm saying is the way you start off is not the way you have to end up. You remember? When Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, he told them they used to be the kind of people that God wouldn't even let them into heaven. But that's not who you are now. But that's okay. No matter what they call you, you're still in good company. Because Noah was a drunk. Jacob was a liar. Moses was a murderer. Gideon was a coward. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair and killed the man of wife he was having an affair with. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Peter denied Christ. But sometimes you have to pray your way through some pain. Don't lose your faith, but just tell God what you want. Jabez knew that if anybody could vindicate what people called him, then God could. If anybody could prove that he was a child of God despite how he was treated, he knew that God could. So he cried out to the God of Israel, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Give me favor and let your hand be on me and keep me from harm, that I might not become a self-fulfilling prophecy and live in pain. And God granted his request. Jabez was in good company. And he had another name given by God. Some of you may know this, but it's called the Tetragrammaton. And it's back when Moses was being called out by God to go and deliver his people. And Moses asked, who do I tell the people sent me? And God told him, tell them that I am that I am sent you. Well, that I that I am sent him was really the proper name, the personal name of God. And it has been symbolized in four different letters called the Tetragrammaton. It's a Y, it's an H, it's a W, and it's an H. Sometimes some say it's a J, it's an H, it's a V, and it's an H. Sometimes we pronounce it as Yahweh. Sometimes it would be pronounced as Jehovah. But the people were so superstitious about who God was that they believed that you couldn't even say God's name, because God was so holy and we were so defiled that you couldn't even roll off of your defiled tongue the holy name of God. So that you would not defile God's name, they took the vowels out of the name and they came up with four consonants, the Y, the H, the W, and the H, and they called it the Tetragrammaton. In fact, in your Old Testament books, if you look at the King James Version predominantly, anywhere you see in all capital letters, the Lord, that is the Tetragrammaton. That is the Y, the H, the W, and the H. And sometimes they would take part of the Tetragrammaton and they would embed it in the name of a child. You remember I told you in the name of Jabez, the root word of that name Baz could be idol, it could be pain, or it could be image. But then the first part of that name is a Yah. That's the Y part of the Tetragrammaton. That is Yah God. And Jesus, and God had another name for Jabez. It wasn't just sorrow and pain, but it was God's image. It was the image of God. And out of the man's pain came the man's promise. Out of his disappointment came his deliverance. For God had another name embedded in the name. What the devil meant it for bad, God meant it for his good. But there was another man. Jabez was in good company today. The image of God was in company today, because there was another man that would come after him. That was a disappointment to his mama too. Born of a virgin. And nobody believed that it was a God thing that happened. Almost messed up her relationship with her man. And when he was born, the officials found out and wanted to have him killed, because they said that he was the real king of the Jews. And they had to go up into Egypt and hide from the foreign authorities of the government. He was another man that disappointed his mama because he had a bad name. He wasn't a good Jew like all the other Jewish boys. He didn't get married at 30 like he should have. In fact, he hung around all the wrong kinds of people. He hung around the loose women of the city. He hung around the drunks and the tax collectors. He hung around the thieves, the whoremongers, and all those that nobody said you should be bothered with. He gave shame to his family. He hung around folk that nobody else said you should even be bothered with. And in order to prove his mama right, one of his homeboys turned him over to the authorities for a crime he didn't commit. And they executed him as a common criminal. Another man that disappointed his mama. And after everybody left him, after all of his friends left off without him, it was his mama that was standing at the foot of the cross. And he said to one of his disciples, "Behold your mama. And brother, behold your son." The songwriter puts it this way: they hung him high. They stretched him wide. He hung his head for me, died. That's love. But that's not how the story ends. 3 days later, he rose again. God had another name. He had another plan, and it was called deliverance. It was called deliverance. It was called the redemption's plan. I don't know what they call you today. I don't know what trouble you got yourself into today. I don't know what problem you face with today. But God sees you, and he got another name for you. They may call you pain, but God calls you his joy and his pleasure if you just put your name in the master's hand. He can turn it all around. Yeah. Jabez was an honorable man. Yeah. He just had a bad name. But the way you start off ain't the way you have to end up. Yeah. We open up the doors of the church to you today that you may receive this Jesus Christ in your life. But this Jesus makes all the difference in the world. He can turn it around for you. But don't get caught up in idolatry, putting other things before the Lord. But if you put the Lord first, he'll provide for your every needs. Those things that you don't even know you need, the Lord will provide for them too. And we got a lot of needs. We got some physical needs. We got some mental needs. We got some spiritual needs. We got some sexual needs. We got some financial needs. God can provide for your every need. You got some hard-headed children and grandchildren. God got what you need. You having problems on your job? God got what you need. He will provide for your every need. You just may not always like the provisions. But if you just trust and obey, the songwriter said there's no other way to be happy in Jesus if you trust and obey. And the Lord came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And you ain't got to die in order to experience the abundant life. He cares about your dilemma right here on earth. We offer this invitation to you today. We ask that you stand as the choir leads us in the song. This is your invitation. The Lord is calling you. He's calling you. The question is, how will you respond? This is your invitation. The Lord is calling. He's calling. He's calling.
There are some things,
yes.
I may not know.
Is there another?
There are some places,
Lord is
calling. I can go,
yes.
But I am sure. I cannot tell just how you felt.
There's still time.
When Jesus took all your sins away. Yes, it's that day.